bearing fruit for the Lord. And as Caleb said, if you abide in the vine, you can't not bear fruit yourself. You must abide in the vine of Jesus Christ. And then he said, and the thing is, we have to have that mindset, as Caleb introduced, and a mindset that you be purposeful, as God purposefully wants to bless here today. That we purposely, every day we get up, we purposely make our mind up that today, dear God, I want to be a blessing to someone. I want to be a witness for you, and I want to walk as a holy child of God. And we purposely do that. Or if you don't, you should do that every single day. And Satan purposely don't want you to. He purposely does not want you to walk in the Spirit. He purposely does not want you to be holy. And he purposely does not want you to witness or be a blessing. He wants you to be a curse. He wants you to be a pain in someone's side. So, in realizing that, where do we fall on the battlefield? I remember what the old evangelist Fred Vaught said, that ye walk circumspectly and not as fools, and circumspectly is what a cat does when you put him on a pole fence and he walks and you put a bulldog on each side. That cat will walk circumspectly because he slips once. It's bye-bye kitty. But we need to walk circumspectly as not as fools. And so, realizing this, that we have the Word of God as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to take God's Word and be serious about it. This is no game. This is not a fairy tale. And I know you hear it again, but it's something that I need every day myself to be reminded that the God's Word, we're in a warfare. This is not just humdrum life. We're in a spiritual warfare, and there's principalities warring against us, trying to get a thought in our mind and trying to get us to look over here and look away from the things of God. Satan is very clever in what he does. So knowing those things, and then we see in Matthew in 6:19, just hang on, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And that's where the devil tries to think whoever wins when they die gets the most toys wins, you know, and you hear this, but you see no U-Haul behind the hearse. Is it? No. When you're buried, you're thrown in the ground and everybody fights over what you got left, and it's a big dog fight then. You like that one, don't you, Brother Kevin? Yeah, that's what it is. And I've seen it. But let's look at 1 John. We read there some, and part of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the first things is love. And then I seen what we looked over is loving your neighbors, loving your enemies, loving things that you wouldn't think could be lovable. And loving one another, and loving the Lord, loving the church house, loving your friends, and then loving the Word of God, and those things that would help us to war, because God give us one thing in this world to help us wield that we can use to fight in a fight. What is it? The Word of God. It's a sword. Jesus fasted 40 days, 40 nights. He is a hunger. He's a thirst. Can you imagine? I can imagine 3 days without food and water. And the devil come up and said, thou be the Son of God, turn the stone to bread. Said, forget that. Let's make it a T-bone steak and baked tater. You know, I mean, I'd be along them lines. Amen. Hey. But that's what we'd be thinking. But Jesus said, nay, but thou shalt not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The importance of God's Word, and that's why Satan seems to weed that out of our lives where it's not of importance no more. Weeds us out of our Bible reading where movies or videos or Facebook or other things are more important, because you'll see what you do because it's the first thing you run to. And that's what we see, lay not aside for yourselves treasures upon earth. Those are things of this earth. This is spiritual food. So as we see this, the love of God, and what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we looked at that word, purified. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. So it's a responsibility that's on your part, my part. It's a responsibility if we want revival, where you start right here, Lord. It's Elizabeth's responsibility to be holy. It's Elizabeth's responsibility to purify herself. But David, Sister Ashley, Brother Caleb, Brother Glover, Brother Michael, Sister Sarah, Brother Allen, Brother Kevin, Sister Sharon, Miss Dixie, dear wife, it's our responsibility to purify ourselves. And how do we do that? With the Word. Well, the Word of God, and it seems that's that one clue that we seem to get away from at times. And it's not of importance in life. And purifies, it means to make one clean. And we looked at that. Now, and we know what the fruit of the Spirit is. And then, here we go. 1 John chapter 2. You should be there in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, and we'll read together. Oh, by the way, another one of the things of the fruit of the Spirit is to do what? We should be hateful people. There is some things we should hate, though. What are some things we should hate? Sin. Because why? God hates it. Everything God hates, I should hate. So those things ought to be an attribute of our lives that we purposefully do. Look here in 1 John chapter 2. And it's wonderful that we're here and the kids have been memorizing all these wonderful verses. And here we are again. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if, catch that word, we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. Now let's read that again. Start at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Is a liar of what? Is a liar of what? Saying you know him. God calls you a liar. If you don't keep his commandments, God says you're a liar. You don't know me. That's what that just said. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And that's what we've been teaching on. The fruit of love manifested from our lives that the world needs to see. And they'll notice real quick. If you truly love God, they'll pick it up from your lives. Because they'll see what matters to you. The world ain't dumb. I mean, you can go to a bar stool and get the biggest drunk at the end and say, how should you expect a Christian to live? And you know what? Probably 90% of what he'll tell you, there's probably a biblical truth behind it. And I'm not kidding. I used to be one. And I used to condemn Christians to the highest level. To the highest level. If you as a Christian, you better walk it and talk it or just don't even come near me. I don't even want to hear from you. If you didn't live it to the fullest, I done, whoop, get out of my way. You ain't got nothing I need. That's what I thought. And it might be 27 years ago, but you know what? I remember it very vividly, how I used to think. How easy it is to be so condemning and so contrary to somebody that's different. I remember that. boy, it's just like yesterday. It's scary. It's so fresh. As much as being saved and my life changed and everything flipped around. But listen how these are worded. Look at verse 5 now. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Because why? We keep his word. You catch that? And the ones that don't keep his commandments or keep his word, God says you're a liar. So it ought to be an attribute, a fruit of our lives from a Christian that we try our best to keep. Do we fail? Yes, we fail. But thanks be to God, I'm getting where I don't fail as much as what I used to. I try and strive. And the more you get in God's Word, the more you learn to apply these principles to your life. So let's break this down a little more. So hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, God says you're a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word. This word keep, I looked it up and it's unique of the definition that I found in the good old Strong's. But listen, the word keep here up in verse 3 where it says, if we keep his commandments, literally means a watch to guard from loss or injury properly by keeping the eye upon. Where do we get the Word of God from? Keeping the eye upon. What a definition to hear from the original Greek, and then the definition is to keep an eye upon. Wow, how do you read this? With your eyes. Amen. So ain't that wonderful? So that was good. So when I seen that, I said, boy, that's good. It helps to study. Then it says, to hold fast, keep a keeper. It's like, you ever see a keeper to a prison? He's protecting someone from getting out. But we're to do the opposite with this one. We're a keeper to protect it as it is, not to be changed. Not to pull something out and change it into something different. Boy, that's what all the other verses do. They pull something out. What'd they say? They can't even make a copyright if they don't change at least 20% of them. Is that right? To get a copyright on changing the Word of God, they got to at least change 20% of it before they can make another copyright. In other words, for money. At least 20% each one. So each one as they change, it's 20% different. Well, think about that. They got to at least change 20% of that before they can put a copyright and say, hey, this is my version of the Bible. Oh, it's gone. Let's put this clear back in the Garden of Eden. What did Satan do with Eve? He changed. He used what God said, but he changed it a little. What did he do with Jesus when he tempted him? If thou be the Son of God, did not God give charge concerning his angels? He said, he's quoting him scripture. He's quoting him the Word of God. But he, part of it, not all of it. So what do you think Satan would do in your life? He'll use a little bit of the Word of God. You young people. Well, David is a man after God's own heart, and he fell, so I could fall too. That'd be a way the old devil put one in your ear. Using the Word of God. Devil's boy. And we have to use it in its purest state. So, now look at the word perfected here. In verse 5. And whoso keepeth his word, and the word keepeth here is the exact same definition I found for keepeth. Means a watch to guard, properly keeping the eye upon. The word here, perfected, listen. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So when you keep God's word, when you protect it, make it part of your life, it's a way for God's love to be perfected in your life. Ain't that beautiful? So the more of God's Word you get in your life, the more of the love of God is perfected in your life. Pure, unadulterated love of God perfected in your life. And this word perfected means, perfected means to complete, to accomplish. It even goes, figuratively speaking, to consummate. Think of that. That's going deep. That's a unity from a husband and wife. So God's trying to consummate His Word to where you're like Him. And He's one. But what did He tell the disciples when the Comforter would come? I and you, you and me, and the Father above, His love to make His abode within us. Boy, and that's the love of God perfected, completing our lives. God's love completing inside of every one of us. And that's abiding in the vine. We are the branches. That's it. That's exactly it. Okay, thank you for that this morning. Went right along with my Sunday school lesson. Perfect. To complete, to accomplish, showing a high degree of skill and flair. When something is, it's like someone taking my son Isaac and sticking him in your job with chemicals and say, Isaac, go do your job. No! You're gonna blow something up, gonna be a train wreck, terribly bad. You're messing with, you need skill here. But the more we're in God's Word, the more we look upon, the more we allow God, the more God's love is perfected in our lives. We're learning to be skillful in the things of God, in His love. Witnessing to someone and say, God, help me here. Totally just take everything I've thought out of your mind and say, God, allow me to be a witness for you. It may be like He sees something in me that He sees you, Lord. And that's what it's all about. That's the fruit that they need to see in our lives. The love of God. And in chapter 4, look, turn a page over, look at this. Here it is again. Verse 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is, what? Perfected. It's completed in our lives. That's what the world sees. What was your first thought before you come to church? What was your excuse keeping you from going? Come on. What was your excuse not going to church? Come on, somebody give me something here. What was your excuse? Or you always been in church? I never always been. What kept you out? Oh, get out of here! But what kept you out? What? Too tired. What else? What else kept you out? My thing, it's just full of hypocrites. You just thought you were going to be okay anyways. I just said it's full of hypocrites. Who wants to go there? It's another Eagles Club, another Moose Lodge. To me, it ain't that sad? That's how my brain worked. That's where I put you. Because I see no realness. I remember a boy in Sunday school, and I've said this before, rolling down a hill, trying to get as close as I could to the deacons and trustees of the church. This is where they took their cigarette break between Sunday school and worship hour. They'd go out back to the church house, fire up, and told their jokes that they heard that week in the factory. And I remember I'd roll as close as I could so I could hear them without them noticing I was there. Because if they see me, they say, get away, get back up here and play. Because I knew what they was up to. I wanted to hear. And I heard things I shouldn't hear. So in my mind as a child, that got planted deep. And that's sad. But it took a place to where I went to a church and God was there. It wasn't people I was looking at no more. Something else was happening where God was dealing with my heart. And I thought, wow, this is different. God's here. And I didn't realize that before, that God was really there in the house of God. So understanding that the world's looking for faults on purpose from us. And we need not give them none. Give them no ammo. Give them nothing to put in their gun to shoot you down. So help. So God is... But whoso keepeth His word in Him verily is the love of God perfected, it's completed. Hereby know it that we are in Him. No man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected. And if you was at the Bible study, put pastor there, we heard it again there. And that it seems to be, this is what God wants us to hear right now. Loving one another. Whereby the love of God is perfected, it's completed, it's made known in our lives. The fruit of love is made known, alright? And what have you heard also? I've heard churches splitting over two women starting off cutting a pie. One of them said, that's not enough pieces. Someone said, that's the way I cut it. Then it ended up, they argued, they bickered, and pretty soon their husband's in it, their kids was in it, and pretty soon half the family was on this family side, half the church was the family on that side, and before you knew it, and it started over cutting a piece of pie. Pride. P-R-I-D-E. It's my way, bless God. I know how to cut pies. I'm the pie specialist. I know it seems funny, but it really happened. It really did happen. So to remember those things, those are tools Satan uses as division. Any way he can just sliver in anything to hinder the work of God. So let's pray. Father, dear God, we love you.